This is Yetta Chaikin taping Stella Frankel on February 6, 1998 for the Jewish Historical Society of Delaware. Your name is, let's just spell your name.
E-S-G-E-L-L-A.
Estella, and what was your maiden name?
Hillerson, H-I-L-L-E-R-S-O-H-N.
Okay, and your name now is Frankel.
Yes.
Right. Okay, when were you born?
1902, December 20th.
December 20th, 1902.
Yes.
Okay. No, that's...
Well, it's not
No.
Not in front of your mouth. So
No, I just want to make sure so that I can hear everything you're telling me. Your mother and father, were they born here?
No, they were born in Russia.
Where in Russia?
Mama was always told me near Odessa, near Odessa.
Uh-huh.
But, excuse me, wasn't it Kherson?
Grandpa, I have had a picture of Grandpa.
And when, do you know when they came here?
No, but I know my sister was born in 1897.
In Wilmington?
No, she was born in Chester.
Uh-huh. And when did you, when did they come to Wilmington?
I don't know. I was born in Wilmington, and I had a little brother in between the two of us was born in
Wilmington.
Wilmington.
So they came before 1900.
I was born where the Blotman Bakery is.
Ah, that's interesting.
13, but what is it?
Now, your mother, and what did your father do here?
My father was a cigar manufacturer.
And he manufactured
cigars
in Wilmington?
Yes.
I'll
tell you all the places. I first remember living at 204 Market Street. We all lived there, and there was a store there. And then we moved to 217 Market Street, and in the back of that 217 Market Street was a building like a factory, and women were in there making cigars.
And your father worked there?
My
it
father was
store.
Oh, it was
his store. Oh,
he was a cigar maker.
Yeah, and there was a store there too, and I remember very well. I don't remember any cigarettes at all,
uh-huh.
But I remember gorgeous meerschaum pipes that were expensive, but they were in the shape of animals. They were just beautiful things.
I have a postcard of old Wilmington of Market Street with. I'll have to get it and show it to you, of her father's store, and she's the little girl standing in front of it.
Well, maybe we can put that with the tape.
Yeah.
So your parents lived down, and so you must have been, remember going to 2nd Street.
Do I remember going to 2nd Street? We always went after Passover with Mama. I went with Mama, and we went to...
Malofsky's.
No.
No.
Strawwasser. We went to Strawwasser's and we bought all the Passover things there. I can remember that very well.
Tell me, have you seen the new book that just came out about 2nd Street?
No.
Well, somebody just got somebody to write about their memories of 2nd
uh-huh,
Street.
Uh-huh. Is that Charlie?
Your parents lived there, and you lived with your family there, and you were, it was this sort of the center of Jewish life, wasn't it? What were some of the activities your mother was involved in?
Well, let me tell you, when I was a little girl, I can remember, the Victor Home was started by my grandmother. And
what was her name?
Anna Ostro.
And is she one of the original ones? Because I saw the deed of the first Victor Holland building.
Yeah, they couldn't spell their name.
Three women wrote an X.
And she kept it. Topkus Bruce, his grandmother. And then Victor Holland was started because of Jekevich's grandmother. She was ill, and the only place they could take it was the mental institution, and they didn't want to do that. So they had a place on, I think it was 2nd and West, the first place. And, are you going, Shirley?
I'm going to take Shirley home.
Yes, sir.
You want to take Shirley?
Yeah, I'm here.
So you remember...
So when I was a little girl, I remember going with Mama to the little grocery store, little mom and pop in shops, you know, and collecting 50 cents for the home.
For the Becker Cola.
I think it was 2nd and West or 2nd and Jefferson. And then I remember going to the meetings and they always had good cookies. Each woman asked the other woman to bring cookies. I remember that. And then I remember going to meetings in the basement of the Addis Kodish and lying down on the benches while the ladies had their meeting.
I think all the women, Jewish women in Wilmington, belonged to Becker Cola, rich and poor, everyone.
Who were the ones who started it? Your grandmother?
My grandmother.
And her name was?
Hannah Ostro.
Hannah Ostro.
Maybe it was Anna.
I think it was Anna.
Anna Ostro.
And then Jekevitz's mother, grandmother.
Yeah, but Jekevitz's mother was very active in
it. Yeah, and then who was the third woman, do you know?
There was a Mrs. Frank that was very active.
Frank,
And Mrs. Burdett. I remember those names, Mrs. Burdett, Mrs. Frank.
So all the Jewish women, do you remember before they started the home, how they used to go around helping a woman who had a baby, helping her family, bringing her food? Do you remember?
That I don't remember at all. I don't remember that at all.
And then later on, my mother was like secretary.
Oh, my sister was secretary of the home, and we used to laugh all the time. My sister and I used to go to the bichloride. And one time she got up to read the meetings of the bi. Oh, and she looked at me, and we both got hysterical. She changed it.
How many women used to go to those meetings?
Lots of women. I can't remember.
From all over the community. Yeah. It was really a wonderful thing.
Oh, yes.
Or Sonia's mother belonged to anything else in town?
Well, my grandmother, her mother, was one of the founders of Beth Emmett.
Wow, so we'll get to that.
Yeah.
But you know, I started...
But before Beth Emmett, where did you go to the synagogue?
Nope, I went no place to that. Was the first place I went.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no, wait, I remember. Addis Kodish, my grandfather and grandmother met. But my grandmother couldn't sit downstairs with my grandfather.
She had to sit upstairs. Right.
I remember, that's all I remember.
Uh-huh. So when you were little.
Yeah, but I never attended that.
Uh-huh. You know, they went to Addis Kodish.
Yeah.
Now, your mother worked in the cigar store.
Well, she helped.
She was a real free spirit. She marched with the suffragettes.
So do you remember her doing anything with the suffragettes?
Taking me to meetings.
Yeah. Did she do that?
You betcha.
And my
mother? What year was it?
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
Had to be because they just had their 75th anniversary.
Right.
So it had to be before that. And I know my mother, who was 5 years older than Aunt Stella, remembered going to Philadelphia and marching with them.
Uh-huh. So, again, do you remember Sally Ginns?
Yes, of course I remember Sally Ginns.
She was involved.
Yeah.
Were there any other Jewish women that you remember?
Mrs. Ray Topkus. Yeah, Mrs. Frank. Mrs. Frank liked me as a little girl. She always had a little pat for me.
Uh-huh. And how was she related to Bill?
No, no relation.
Different family.
There was Mrs. Burdett.
Burdett.
B-E-R-D-I-T.
Uh-huh.
And I don't remember all the others.
Well, I just wanted to get some idea, but these were all young women who were interested in the suffrage movement.
Right. They were all married women with families. They had their families to take care of.
Where did you go to school?
I went to a number 6 school. I think it was on 4th Street. And where did I go?
Where'd you graduate high school?
Wilmington High School.
Wilmington High School. Mm-hmm. And what year?
1920.
And you went to Willard Hall before
I
that.
Went to
Willard Hall. Uh-huh.
It wasn't called Willard Hall. It was called number 28 school.
And
then.
Where did you play? Did you have girlfriends and boyfriends?
After we moved from 217 Market Street, we moved out to Gilpin Avenue.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So you were away from the Jewish community.
Yeah, Gilpin Avenue. And
did you like it there? Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember probably in Cowboys and Indies. That's all I remember. And then we moved to 815 West 4th Street. And I remember that well. I roller skated. And played jacks on the, I remember. And people by the name, and there was a little back street, I think it was called, I forget what street it was called, but the Willers lived there, the Willers.
And it was another Jewish family.
Yeah, what was the girl was very nice, I knew the girl.
And so she was your girlfriend.
Well, she, no, not exactly, yeah. But we were acquaintances.
Yeah. Now, when did your friendship with Jacobit start? Because
we went to high school together.
Oh, not to high school. Okay.
So when you went to high school, tell me about this special friendship.
At high school?
Yeah.
Jacobit.
Jacobit.
Can you spell that for me?
Yeah, I think it's J-E-C-H-E-B-E-T.
Uh-huh. And what was her first name?
That was Jacobit.
That's Jacobit.
She was a Topkis.
Uh-huh.
And then her married name was Roos. And she died just a few years ago, and they were friends since high school, and every single day they talked.
Oh, wow.
She was a real friend.
So she was a life, then we call that a lifelong friend.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And so she was your main friend when you were growing up.
Yes.
Were you, did you?
And I'll tell you who else we, I remember going from Temple with the Shaywin girl. What was her first name? Shaywin.
Not Nettie.
No. Harry Shaywin's sister. I can't think of her first name.
Well, that's all right.
It'll come to me 4 o'clock in the morning.
Okay. When did you start showing your musical talent, and when did you start taking lessons?
I started when I was 7 years old. My teacher, Miss Eleanor B. Gillespie, also taught at number 1 school, which was in the high school. That was 6 in French.
Uh-huh.
That's where my sister went, I think. There was no woman in high school at that time. And Miss Gillespie taught art there, and she was also a violin teacher. And my sister took piano lessons, and Miss Gillespie came to 217 Market Street to give her lesson, and she said one day, looking at me, I was 7 years old, and she said, and that one ought to take violin lessons. And that would, so we started on violin lessons, and I stayed with her 10 years. I studied with Miss Gillespie 10 years.
And you still have her bow?
I have a bow that she bought in Europe.
And then when you finished high school, did you continue violin?
Yeah, I went to the conservatory, Peabody Conservatory.
How did your parents know about the Peabody Conservatory? Because in those days, not too many Jewish families knew about Peabody.
Well, my mother knew about everything.
Well, did Miss Gillespie steer you in that
direction? Maybe. I know she wrote a letter of recommendation.
Uh-huh. So you studied in Baltimore.
Yeah, I lived there for 2 years.
Uh-huh.
So
when you came back, did you start giving violin lessons?
Yes.
And what
my
else?
First pupil's name was Walter Gallagher. I remember that. That's what, 1922. I don't remember all my
That was the year I was born.
Yeah.
So that was your first pupil.
Yeah. I mean,
and how many years did you give violin lessons?
She's still
I know. How many years?
Well, since 1922.
From 1922 to 1998.
Yeah.
I guess that's a good long
career.
Career.
I'm trying to cut her off.
Oh, but ask her all the other things she did in music.
Well, tell me some of the other things you did in the world of music.
Oh my goodness. Well, let's see. I worked with the nurses' chorus at the Dollar Hospital
and the Memorial Hospital,
and I taught in the Bloomington Public Schools for 36 years and 5 months.
And she taught at the music school?
And I taught at the music school for 15 years.
The Bloomington Music
School. Uh-huh.
What about the Gilbert and Sullivan that she directed around town and in Arden? And you used to play it. You used to play at weddings and things. What did Father Tucker used to call you?
He used to call me the Jewish Madonna.
She used to play at the weddings with the.
And I worked on the radio.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And what else did I do in teaching?
Well, you taught in the schools. She conducted the bands and the orchestras, and then they had her teaching. She taught not just violin in the schools, but tell her about the other things you taught.
I started out by just being a string teacher, and at one time I went to 5 schools in a week, and then one teacher, I started with George Gray, and that teacher invited all the other elementary teachers to a little tea party after school, and my violin class played, and they all got mad because those teachers were wonderful teachers. They wanted everything for their school. And they said, why do they have it? We don't have it. So then they sent me to 5 schools. And then gradually, toward, I don't know how many years toward the end, I was teaching all the instruments.
Fantastic.
Not just strings,
yeah.
But the brasses.
And I went up to
At Peabody, I know you have to learn many instruments.
No, I didn't learn them there.
Okay.
I just did violin there.
Ah.
And then I went up to, I also went to get, at that time in the Wilmington Public Schools, if you didn't have a college degree, every 4 or 6 years, you have to take so many college credits. So I started taking college credits. And when I was 58, I think it was, I got a degree from Penn.
Oh, fantastic.
She had just gotten a certificate
from Peabody
after 2 years. So,
you, at age 58, you got your bachelor's degree.
Okay.
That's just wonderful.
Uh-huh.
Tell me something about how Beth Emmett got started, Temple Beth Emmett.
Oh, I remember. This is the funny thing that I remember. Going to Sunday school, I loved that little building.
And where was the building?
On Washington
Street. It was next to
me.
On Washington Street.
It was on Washington at
8th and 9th.
Between 8th and 9th?
Yeah.
Did you have anything to do with getting the building and starting?
No, I was too young.
But your parents?
My mother and my uncle, Dr. Ostro, was the one that gave the Torah to the temple.
Why did they start Beth Emmett? Do you know that? What was their purpose?
Well, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I would think my mother didn't like the fact that my grandmother couldn't sit down with my grandfather.
So they wanted services where men and women sat together.
And they were, I think, acclimating themselves to the world we were in then.
More Americanism.
Yeah, right. And I remember up at, near the altar, there was like a post, and they used to pin notices up there. And I remember going up there one day to read my notice, see what was on the notice, and my skirt came down. And after that, I always wore a safety pin on my skirt. Isn't it funny how you remember?
Yeah, so, embarrassing things.
Embarrassing, yeah.
Right.
And we had a little orchestra there, believe it or not.
Did you have something to do with that orchestra?
I played it. And Arthur Guest, Mrs. Guest was a teacher there, and her son.
So you went to Sunday school there?
Yeah.
And you loved it?
Sunday school, and I was confirmed there.
And you really enjoyed it?
Oh, yes.
And you remember what year you were confirmed?
I was 15. When would that be? About 1917?
Yeah, 1917. Yeah. Were you the first confirmation?
No, I don't think
so. You were one of the early ones. There were three people in the confirmation.
Sadie Jacoby and the Leicester girl and myself.
And who was the rabbi?
That I don't remember.
You don't remember who?
Isn't that funny? Mm-hmm. I don't remember.
Well, that's all right. So it was like a family there? You were all friendly, the people?
Well, you know, that had wooden pews.
Yeah.
And the pews had little gold plates on them with, like, letters on them. And ours was marked R.H. And my sister's name was R.H. Rosalie Hillerson. So we always said the seat was named after her. And right in front of us, for all those years we went to Temple, the Benham girls.
Sat in front of him.
Sat right in front of him.
Uh-huh. So it was like a family.
Yeah, and Mr. Snellenberg at that time, I think, was president. They sat over on the other end.
Tell me something about growing up in Wilmington. Was it fun? Was it any anti-Semitism? Do you remember?
I remember one incident, not from Wilmington, but one at Wilder, number 28 school. There was a boy in back of me. I still see his face, ugly looking boy. And he'd bend over, and I had long class. He'd bend over and say, Jew, Jew, Jew. So I came home and I said to my mother, this is what this boy's saying. And my mother said, you turn around and tell him you are a Jew and you're very proud of it. Wow. So the next time he called me a Jew, I turned around and said, yes, I am, and I'm very proud of it. And he stopped.
That was it. That was good advice, wasn't
it? Sure. My mother always gave good advice.
Well, tell me something about your social life growing up here.
Well, I remember Tijan Sons at the Hotel DuPont. I don't think that was, it wasn't strictly, I don't know whether it was Jewish or not. I went to the YMHA for the basketball games, and then we put on shows, and her father made posters for the shows, and that was our activity at the YMHA.
Yeah, all the girls went down to watch the boys play basketball.
That's right.
The girls didn't play, the boys played.
That's right.
But I remember that myself.
Yeah, right.
How about...
I don't remember a boy by the name of Tolan. And Fanny Tolan was his sister, and she was kind of she could take over things, sort of.
Tell me about your dating.
Dating? I don't know much about the normal thing.
Okay. And then you married.
Yes.
And who did you marry?
Harry Frankel.
And what happened to the marriage?
It didn't go.
Didn't go. How long did you stay married?
6 years.
Did you have any children?
Yes, I have a wonderful son.
Okay. So you have one son, and what's his name?
Victor.
Okay. Did you, you divorced, how old were you, and what year was it? Do you remember when you divorced?
Oh, I remember.
Because not too many women divorced in those days.
I know. I remember after going to the courthouse, I went to temple because it was Rosh Hashanah, I think. And that's all I remember.
And was it difficult for you as a divorced woman in those days? Today, it's pretty common.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was that common then.
No, difficult in what way?
I don't know. Was it difficult?
No.
No. You because you were working.
Well, I had a wonderful family.
So your family was supportive.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so it didn't make any difference in your life. Your life continued.
Yeah.
All right.
I worked.
Well, are there any memories or?
Well, I can tell you, or she can tell you, but I think she needs to talk about Second and Madison and where I grew up, and we all. This is why she's like my second mother, because we all lived together.
Uh-huh.
And explain who was in that household.
In Second Madison.
What year? Can you tell me?
Oh God.
Well, now, the family had moved to Gilpin Street and then back.
It was after 1923. This is what happened. My Aunt Rosie, Mama's sister.
And what was her name?
Barsky.
Barsky?
Rose Barsky.
She wrote Ostro.
Rose Ostro Barsky.
Uh-huh.
We were supposed to move to Philadelphia, and we went to stay with the Barskys at 94 West Street for a couple of days. And while there, my Aunt Rosie died. And so my mother just stayed on.
Taking care of the family.
My father went on to Philadelphia to Baltimore finally. And Mama stayed. And so that's where my sister was married in 1923 from 94 West Street. She married Sidman Shore. And What did I start to tell you?
You were talking about all of this stuff in the matter.
And so then Uncle Barton sold that place to the telephone company, a beautiful home there, 94 West Street, right across from Grace Church. In fact, one time, William Jennings Bryan was speaking at Grace Church. He was called the silver-tongued orator, and the doors were open, and we sat on our porch.
My father went to hear him speak.
No
kidding. He always told me how he went to hear William Jennings Bryan speak.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, I heard him, too.
So, he sat on the other side.
That's right. That's how they heard him.
Yeah.
And so then Uncle Barsky sold the place, and they, Uncle Barsky and Victor Barsky, I think Joe was already married, I'm not sure, and Eva, was Eva? They moved to, they took an apartment in the 800 block of West Street. And so we moved with to Uncle Jake, Mama and me.
And your son?
And my son. Uncle Jake second in Madison. He had a store there for 50 years.
Right.
And a dry goods store, yes. And then her sister, her mother and father had an apartment, and they gave it up after a while and came to live down there. And Anne was born while, that's her sister, while Aunt Helene Shore Hadfield was born there. And of course my son was a baby there. He was born there. Uncle Jake took another little house next to the store, and we lived there. Not the whole family. My husband and I, and my son, and her mother and father.
Uh-huh.
And then finally, somehow or other, Uncle Jake enlarged the place he had, and everybody came together. We all lived together.
Over the store.
Oh, wow.
Nine of us.
You don't hear too many stories of an extended family.
No. Well, we were,
I will tell you, it was a spectacular childhood for me.
Yeah.
I never heard any arguments. I never heard any angry words. Everybody was so busy, and everybody was so active, and it was just wonderful.
Well, that helped make you what you are today.
Oh, I know it did.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Well, actually, it's a privilege for me to hear about your background and how you grew up, because you were the people who set the stage for me and now for the next generation.
That's right.
So we have a lot to thank you for. There was an article in the paper just now about you and this honoring you, talking about the Suzuki method.
That's it.
Do you want to tell us something about that?
What can I tell you?
Well, were you an early...
Yes. Another friend and I went to, in the 60s, we went up to Philadelphia to hear about the Suzuki method, and Dr. Suzuki was there with some of his children, and then another fellow by the name of Kendall, who had gone to Japan to study the system, and he said, at the end of the lecture, he says, if there's anybody interested, he'll take their name and send us a booklet on. So Peggy McCluskey was my friend, and she taught in some of the other buildings of public schools. And so we put our names in, and we had John Kendall down here one time. And Dr. Fisher, what was his first name? I can't think of it now. Robert Fisher was a teacher at the Tatnall School, and they had money, I guess, because they had Mr. Suzuki come down. And
fantastic.
And Mr. Suzuki, during the intermission, he had an interpreter with him. He sent the interpreter out and said, get Mrs. Frankel to come in, because I had met him before. I went through some of his lectures about five different places in the country.
So you were one of the early advocates.
Peggy
and I brought it. She taught in other public schools, and I taught it.
Well, you're to be congratulated for all your wonderful work.
Oh, I don't know about that. A lot of things I regret that I could have.
What do you regret?
A lot of things. Discipline. I was tough on discipline.
You think you were too tough?
Yes.
Because
in some cases,
And you know, because one of the things that our society now says people are too easy.
I know.
And you're saying you were too tough, but I think the time you lived, there were certain expectations.
Yes.
And you can't get away from the time that you lived.
But you know, I have to interject here, even though you're interviewing her, but I have watched her over the years with pupils. She's strict and she's tough and she's demanding, but there's so much love and so much enthusiasm and encouragement that
it gets the message across. I think in order to play an instrument, you have to have discipline.
Uh-huh.
Without discipline, you can't play it. So you have to be pretty tough. So I don't think you should berate yourself.
Well, if I had to do it over again, I'd do it a little differently.
Okay, well, that's what we would all do, all of us.
In some cases.
Okay, well, I think that's true of all of us. We would all do it differently, but we only have one chance.
Right.
Well, unless you have something else you want to tell me about.
Let's see.
Well, you were talking before about Second Street. Now, when we lived at Second and Madison, every Sunday morning, my great uncle. See, it was her uncle, Jacob Ostro, who owned the dry goods store. And his brother.
Uncle Jake Ostro made possible this place here, too.
Oh, really?
I'll tell you about that in a minute. But his brother, who was a widower,
Uncle Joe.
Joseph Ostro, was there. And my mother and my father and my grandmother and Aunt Stella and her son. And every Sunday morning, Uncle Jake would go down to Second Street and go to Blotman's Bakery and go to the delicatessen and bring all the goodies back from Second Street. And he was a remarkable man. He was on the school board, school board.
Yes.
My father served in the state legislature.
The father was?
Sigmund Shore.
And you're Sonia Sloan Shore.
No, Sonia. Sure.
Shorts
Sloan. Yeah,
Tensley,
and I have
Shorts
a sister who's 2 years older.
Okay.
And then her son, who's like a brother to me, who's an internationally famous orthopedist.
All right. Do you want to tell us about your son?
Uh-huh. You betcha.
Shall I tell you about him?
Tell me who he is and what his name is and what he does.
Victor Hertz Frankel. And he was born in the St. Francis Hospital, which was can only open 2 months. And Dr. Rabbi Rezitz, an old time guy, came down for the bris to the hospital, and he said to me, "I knew your grandfather. He was a remarkable man. You can name him Victor Hirsch if you want, but I'm going to name him Hirsch Victor." That's what he did.
And that's what he did.
Yeah. And he's an orthopedist and special the Hospital for Joint Diseases in New York City.
Nah.
And he retired me a little bit, but he's 72. And
she worked very hard to give this young man his education, sent him to Swarthmore Medical School.
Well, you must be very proud
this book was when his 10th anniversary as head of the orthopedics. Says many credit with him with introducing the science of biomechanics to orthopedic surgery in the United States. Others simply, he's a major pillar in the House of North American Orthopedics. And he travels all over the world.
He's in New Zealand just now.
Wow. Well, I know you are proud. And
I'm happy for him.
Yeah.
Everything goes well for him.
I'm
proud of her.
I know.
She's the first woman to graduate Jefferson Medical School.
Not from the I got a graduate degree, but I was the first woman to get a degree from there.
Well, we're going to do
you. Yeah, we're going to do me later.
I sort of want to put your family together.
Yes.
So that's why I thought I'd start with you, and then I'd do Sonia and Gil.
Uh-huh.
And then anybody else that we... Because your family is one of the early Wilmington families.
Right.
And I think that you all made a great contribution.
Thank you.
So I thank you.
Let me just say, they were one of the early families here. Now, Arden's going to be 100 years old in the year 2000.
Yeah, tell me something. When did you come to Arden?
We came to Arden. We moved into this house the night she was born.
Almost 70.
April 1st.
but you had been here two summers before.
Oh, yes, we had.
So you were, you used to come as a part of the summer colony?
Yeah, about 1927. Uh-huh.
So were you with the people, the early people who came? They used to come from Philadelphia?
Yeah, yes.
And you were friendly with all those
yes,
people?
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Because I did an interview.